Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
Welcome to episode 234 of Nerd Pride Radio. 234?
It's sequential!
Yeah, it is sequential. 2, 3, 4.
You're good at counting!
No, you're so smart.
You did it!
Alright, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How you doing?
I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus. Really should have taken a breath before I started that. There's like 7 other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be.
And I am here to fill in those 7.
Thank you. That's my son, Aiden.
I mean, they would know this at this point. I mean, we're not gaining any listeners.
That's so true.
It's been the same 30 people for 5 years.
We should work on alienating listeners so at least the number fluctuates now. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place we go every week to have run about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in our collective skulls anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right, Nerd Pride smells exactly like Pete Schwede's Christmas balls.
Order now, and you can have them just in time for Christmas.
All right, first up, before we get started, a little meta-talk.
Oppenheimer!
That's right. Meta talk is where I pull back the curtain, do some inside baseball, show you how the sausage is made, open the kimono a little bit.
Speaking of sausage.
Got any other phrases that fit this? All right. A little behind the scenes
crack
stuff
the conspiracy?
With,
I don't know.
With the website and the podcast and everything else. Sorry about not showing up last week. We were at camp, and me and Noah, and we were at Boy Scout camp, and normally I do an episode from camp.
And see, the thing is, had he left his recording equipment here, I would have done it myself.
That's true. But as it turns out, it rained every single night we were there. It was just...
What, you didn't have a tent to record in?
No, normally I would hike up, and I go to the trading post, and there's a little room where I can work from the trading post, and I do some stuff there. But the first few nights, it just wasn't convenient to get up there. And then by the time I finally could, like Thursday or Friday night, it's like, it's already getting too close to this recording. So we tried installing a voice recorder on the phone, and me and Noah did some recording in the tent in the rain. But the thing, even though it said it was going to record in MP3 format and I could just upload it directly to the site, it didn't. And it was recording in WAV format, which would have meant that I still would have to take the machine up and do a whole thing. With conversion and you know, by the time
we
I was putting that much...
We call it WAV format nowadays.
That's right. GIFs and WAVs. All right.
I just thought I'd correct you so you don't sound like like someone who's not hip.
Plus, on the... Also, to go along with this, my week at camp was a little extra difficult because I'm a whiner. Because I boiled my toe before I left for camp, which...
Why would you do that?
I know, it sounds stupid in retrospect, but... at the time...
Hey, we know it's not your fetish now. It's fine.
Thursday night before going to camp. We're leaving for camp on Sunday. And Thursday night, we were boiling eggs. And when I went to go move the eggs...
And toes, apparently.
When I went to go move the eggs from the stove to the sink, I lost my grip on one of the handles. And the pot swung over and about a pint of boiling water went into my sock.
It was bad.
And burned my toe really badly. Like a 3-inch long blister and it It's
and it
just
was
gotten.
Like a potato.
Oh god, it's just gotten more and more gruesome as time goes on. But no infection, and it's healing up really, really nicely. It's just, it's really sore, and so I had a tough time walking at camp, and that made it harder to get where I was going.
Because, well, you know, 5 miles a day on a blistered foot is perfectly fine.
Oh, man, dude. And it was still, I still probably put in about 2 miles a day, so instead of the usual five. But even then, yeah, it was too much. I shouldn't have been walking that much. But again, despite the fact that it rained and I was hiking through mud for a week, the antibiotic cream that the doctor gave me was spectacular. The foot, I had the medic there check up on it a couple of times, and he kept saying, no, but it's doing great. No, you're keeping the infection out of it. It looks great. He'd help me wrap it up right. And so, you know, it all worked out pretty well. But still hurts a little bit, obviously, you know, because it's a burn. But I'm getting there, and, you know, just making up excuses for why I wasn't here last week, and I feel really bad, and I'm sorry, you guys. I really should have just left the microphone here so that Aiden could take over, but,
And had you let me do that, I also would have had our new intro rewritten.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, where is that new intro?
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Well, you've only had 2 weeks.
It's compiling.
You take your time. It's, I mean, it's like a whole paragraph. So, you know, you just work on that. Anyway.
Just one cut break line and I own the podcast.
Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me and Aiden where we talk about whatever has been on our minds for the last week. If something strikes us as interesting during the course of our busy week, yeah, we add it to the master list, and the very best off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when we record.
You lucky dogs.
Straight into it. First up, it's the gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die. Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games, if it fits on our gaming table, we are here to share it with you. And this is Aiden's segment this week, so...
Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to talk about open-world games like Skyrim, and not like small open-world games like what The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess was, because that game was still extremely linear. I'm talking about games where your entire adventure is completely your own, specifically Skyrim. Skyrim is a game, the game I've sunk the most time into, period. I have put, after my calculations today, over 3,000 hours into that game. It's nearly half a year.
That sounds pretty awesome. You must be really good at it at this point.
I am. And the thing is I've had over 10 characters that I've made, and yet, after all this time, after all these characters, after all these adventures, I still find new things I haven't found before.
God, and with 3,000 hours, you must be making money hand over fist off of this thing.
Well, my character's rich.
Ask me how many hours I've put into the podcast.
I don't say you put into the podcast.
Well, let's see, at 234 episodes now, and I would estimate that between research notes, preparation ahead of time, conversion, publishing, everything else afterwards, maybe 1,000 hours. So, something like that. So, yeah, I haven't quite put in the Skyrim level of investment yet, but I'm sure the money is just going to start just pouring any moment now.
I have been playing Skyrim longer than you've been doing the podcast, though.
Is that true? How old is Skyrim?
Oh, give me a second for a quick Google to talk about some stuff.
Because I'm pretty sure that the podcast started in 2011?
Oh, yeah, no. Easily.
That's my guess. And then if you want to throw in the,
Oh, wow!
What?
November 11th, 2011.
Wow! 11-11-11. That's pretty good.
You have not been doing the podcast for 7 years.
Okay, now it's your turn to talk.
But it's just, it amazes me that I can put in so much time and so much effort and still have a good time and still find new things to do. And admittedly, I'm not technically playing the game vanilla because, you know, Skyrim does have a second tagline beyond its typical adventure game tagline. And the secondary tagline is mod it till it crashes.
Oh, hold on. Nerd Pride Radio Episode 1 released April 6th, 2011.
All right, so a few months.
All right, so I got 7 months on you. But still.
You've been doing this for 7 years?
I know. I've been a podcaster for, like, over a decade. Is that not crazy? I know, weird, right?
Anyway, but, like, the mods I like to use in Skyrim aren't the completely game-changing ones, the ones that add new maps, the ones that completely change the way the game plays. I like the ones that are subtle. Like, for instance, there are crab enemies in the game that now mind swear like sailors. Just because it makes me laugh.
Ori.
There are walrus-like enemies that are called horkers, and whenever one's near, the game plays I Am the Walrus by the Beatles.
That's funny.
I have dad jokes on my loading screens. It's...
Yeah. Aww, it's like I'm there with you.
Almost.
That's so sweet.
The whole thing about the mods is that, yes, I've put in so much time into Skyrim, but with mods and all this, I could easily triple that kind of time. Because the kind of mods and the depth of the mods that Skyrim has can make it into a completely different game.
Okay, now, here's my next question. So this has been a 7-year process of Skyrim.
Yeah.
Skyrim is not one that requires an ongoing monthly fee or anything like that.
No.
However, you paid for the original game probably $50 in that day and age.
Yep.
And how many times have you paid out for a DLC? How many expansions or whatever do they call them?
On my PC personally, I dropped $20 on a Steam sale to get the entire package. Skyrim and all the DLC.
And is that all you've ever paid?
That's all I personally have ever paid. Back when I first started playing Skyrim, I played on Jacob's version.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably paid $60 when it came out, and then I think it was $20 for each DLC. But now you can get it for dirt cheap.
Wow.
And it just came out for the Switch at full price because Nintendo can really do whatever they want.
Right, but again, the idea that
stupid.
even if it's a $50-$60 game, that's still years worth of content out of. That's impressive as crap. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for that.
And my wallet's gonna die come 2019 because
the James Webb Space Telescope is gonna be launched.
Yeah, how'd you know what I was gonna talk about? No,
I'm sorry. Whenever I hear 2019, that's all I can think about. Is there other things happening in 2019?
Just Elder Scrolls 6?
Is that like one of the mirrors for the telescope? Is that a...
Skyrim is Elder Scrolls 5.
I knew that.
Did you?
Yes.
Elder Scrolls 6 Blades looks like it's going to be incredible.
Okay. Very cool. Hey! You ever played Paranoia?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you know our Paranoia game just ended this week?
Yeah.
I mean, for you, it ended, like, you know, a month ago or so, because you made it your mission to be the first guy to lose all 6 clones, and you won! Because Aiden started off this
game. Okay, we can talk about it now!
That's right. Aiden started, this game of Paranoia has been a year and a half in the playing of it. And it just ended, and so I'm finally publishing all the chapters. And when we play Paranoia, for those of you who've never played Paranoia, Paranoia is a role-playing game. It's a storytelling game where we play in a, as they call it, a darkly humorous future. The world is run by the mad computer who is unbelievably paranoid, thinks everyone's out to get it, and so thus the people who play in it are equally paranoid. And everyone gets a starting 6 clones. So when you die, you are immediately replaced by an identical clone replacement. And you get 6 of those before you're out of the game. And Aiden started off, he really wanted to be the one to lose all of his clones first. And so he started off by, first thing that happens in the mission briefing, he tells the superior officer to go to hell and start...
No, I just corrected him.
Okay, no, that's true. When he said he was 2 steps away from the computer itself.
No, I mean, technically.
He said technically.
Bam!
3, and then his head exploded. So, oh yeah, did you know that that's how you died?
Yeah.
Your head exploded.
Yeah, no, I got that.
Okay.
Finger guns.
And so, yes. And it just went downhill for him from there. There were people who made it through this game only losing 3 clones.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually made it to the end and lived. So... Anyway, we are all done with Paranoia. I don't think I'm going to pick up another game for a while. It's time to take a break. But you know what's super exciting? Is that Kaz has decided he's going to play a horror game, but he wants to play it in the style of the Paranoia email system that we use. So we'll all be characters in a, I think, some sort of Cthulhu-esque Elder Horrors turn of the century sort of game. But it'll be playing like the Paranoia, so it's played by email, and each person only sees what their character sees rather than having this kind of meta-omniscient view. And I'm really excited because I get to be a player, and I've never gotten to play in one of these. So this is going to be super fun, dudes. I will. I guess I can't really report on it until it's over because I don't want to give anything away and let people know who I am. But just trust that I'm having a great time for the next 6 to 12 months. It's going to be awesome. Let's see. Anything else from games? No, I don't think so. I think we're good. So, you know, you need to get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right, it's time for some nerd rage. Let's see. Well, I've got two rages here. Do you wanna start one?
So, I'm competitive.
Slightly. Some would say stubborn.
And so, we were at my grandparents' house. Well, just hanging out, having a good time. And my mom told me to clean my glasses. And it's this big joke that she only asks me to do it when she's annoyed at me. And I just plumb forgot to.
This is, by the way, when they were young kids, she didn't even realize she did it. But when they were young, they'd be riding to school, and she'd be annoyed with them over something that they did. And so every conversation when she's annoyed with them always ended with her looking over and going, "Clean your glasses." And so they would, but that was just something that she only noticed dirty glasses if she was already annoyed with them about something else. So this was the joke.
And so I just plumb forgot to clean my glasses. And so
this time she wasn't actually upset with him. He had something on his glasses. They needed cleaning.
Right. And I just forgot to, because it doesn't bother me when they're dirty. It just doesn't. So a few days later, me and Mike are at a gas station.
Yes.
And he's like, "Clean your glasses." I'm like, "No, you can't make me." He's like, "Well, you're going to have to clean them sometime." And in my mind, that was a challenge.
Right.
A challenge of which I still haven't lost.
Okay, so I don't understand what the rage is here.
So, I'm in the shower.
Yeah.
And I knew something was up when Mike forgot his phone.
Yes, I forgot my phone. I had to come in. Oh, sorry, just forgot my phone. I'm coming back
in. You never forget your phone.
I forgot my phone.
I knew something was up.
Things happen.
And for some reason, I didn't check. And so, I think nothing of it. He leaves, and I get out and throw on my glasses. I'm like, "God, they are really foggy." It wasn't until I stepped out of the bathroom into the non-fogged air and they still didn't unfog until I'm like, "Hold on a minute." I remove my glasses and both lenses are coated in butter front and back.
Buttered. Buttered them front and back. Because at this point, he's going to have to clean his glasses, right? I mean, this is pretty clever on my part. You guys have to admit, he says that this story makes me the asshole. But I'm pretty sure it just shows how clever I am.
No, Dad, I agree with
him. Oh, man, even Noah's against me.
And so, my mother, the saint that she is, decided that he was an asshole and cleaned my glasses for me.
No, he was going to walk around with buttered glasses. Like, he was going to be fine with things. "I've got contact lenses here somewhere. These will be fine. I'm not worried about it." And so finally, Lisa breaks down and cleans the glasses for him because it's driving her crazy to see them. I'm like, "No, you can't do that. He has to do it himself." And she's like, "You know he's never going to do it. He will leave buttered glasses sitting on the back of his bed for years before he cleans them."
And so, I would have, and you know I would.
So he still won, but I still think buttered glasses is pretty cute. I don't even see why this is a rage. This is a great story.
It is a great story. But I was livid.
Yeah, that's the thing. He has no sense of humor. He really, can you imagine getting out of the shower, finding buttered glasses, and then you get mad about it? Who does that, right?
You took a personal possession of mine. My glasses, of which something you should never touch.
That I paid for.
I don't care.
That I did, clearly, look, I understand that you're a sensitive boy.
You buttered my glasses.
You're a sensitive boy. It's okay. All right.
You're the worst.
So, all right, that's his nerd rage. Now, for my nerd rage, I have, what the heck?
Screensavers!
That is weird. It has not gone to screensaver during a recording in ages. Boy, I hope it's still recording for us. I hope I can remember my password.
Man, we're still in radio personality. That'd be really weird if it wasn't.
Yeah, so, thank you. So, okay, new commercial. Now, years ago, the shampoo companies invented dandruff so that they give people something to be self-conscious about. So that, well, no, because dandruff is, you know, everyone has a flaky scalp. Unless you have a medical condition, it's not something that happens to normal people most of the time, or at least not, as long as you wash your hair, as long as you keep yourself relatively clean, it's not a big deal. All right. Again, unless you have a particular condition. But because these, Head and Shoulders and other, dandruff shampoo companies, yeah, thank you. These dandruff shampoo companies made such a big deal about it in commercials, suddenly everyone in the world became unbelievably concerned about dandruff. I remember growing up in the 70s and 80s, and dandruff was a huge worry. I made sure that I washed my hair all the time because I was so worried about having dandruff because of the commercials.
But the more you wash your hair, the flakier your scalp gets. Yeah.
And same thing with halitosis. Halitosis is the medical term for bad breath that was invented by...
Listerine!
Well, yeah, or at least publicized by Listerine in order to sell mouthwash and make people feel like they had
to use Listerine. A mouthwash that used to just be a household cleaner.
Right. That they had to use this, well, they didn't have to, but they did use this in order to sell mouthwash, to make people self-conscious about something. That, look, normally, in the normal course of your day, unless something weird is going on with your breath, how many times are people in your day-to-day life close enough to smell your breath? In American society, we have a little more personal space than that. It's weird, okay? It's not something you need to be that concerned about. Every once in a while, maybe, but not everyday paranoid. Okay. So, whether or not you think those are valid concerns, the newest one that's getting me, and I don't even know, I can't remember which fabric softener company is doing this, but the commercial about the smelly shirt.
Oh my god!
When you tell your boss you've been to the doctor, but your shirt says you've been to a steakhouse, it's not that you're washing odors out of your shirt, it's that if you don't use the right fabric softener, what happens if your clothes pick up odors during the day, and those odors might embarrass you? Alright, once again,
that's not a problem that anyone has ever had, ever.
Is my boss honestly going to get close enough to me to smell my shirt?
If you're a woman, he might.
And if so, I've got some serious issues with
my
workplace.
Not to be sexist. If you're a man, he might, but it's less of a chance.
Why are you assuming that the boss is a man?
But I was getting to that.
My boss is a female. I can't believe you would make these assumptions.
I was getting there.
Listeners, I apologize for my son being such a misogynist. This is not how I raised him. I feel terrible.
Oh, it totally is how you raised me.
I feel terrible. So, the point is that I see this commercial, and I know it's stupid. I know it is a stupid commercial. But, if they make enough of these, then just like I grew up worried about dandruff, which dandruff is not the huge deal that's kind of faded out from popular consciousness nowadays. But I think that just like I worried about dandruff when I was a little kid, for no good reason at all, I think we're going to have a whole generation of people worried about, oh my god, what if my clothes aren't protected from picking up odors through the day?
Or something like that.
Because even though we as, you know, conscious living adults recognize that this is stupid, there's going to be a whole generation of kids growing up with this barrage of commercials. If they keep making them, if they think this is an effective ad campaign and they keep making them like this, all it takes is a few years of this and suddenly you've got a whole group of kids growing up thinking, paranoid all the time, that their clothing is picking up odors from around them, and they're going to be embarrassed. That's, ugh. Like we don't already have enough paranoia about personal appearance and hygiene anyway. This is just a silly thing. A silly thing. So anyway, I saw that commercial. I've seen it about 100 times now. It was really popular on YouTube for the last couple of weeks, or at least before I went to camp. And it's just been driving me crazy. So there. That's my nerd rage. All right. What's next? Oh, there it is. Oh, it's a Nerd Pride book report.
I'm sorry, are we doing book reports for fun now?
Yeah, okay, for that music means that, hey guys, I read a thing. And whenever I read something, I have to come brag about it.
Wow, that's rare.
That's the intro.
Are you going to tell me that you think that reading is such a rarity nowadays that you need to brag every time? You're not special for knowing how to read.
But I didn't read for a long time, and now I've been reading regularly, and so when I do, I need to brag about it. So, I mean, look, Lord knows, I'm on the internet, I have my
forums. Look at me, I can read, guys!
There's blogs and news things I follow, there's all sorts of stuff that I read and write constantly throughout the day, but to actually read literature, if you can call what I read literature, I suppose, you know, it feels like an accomplishment. My problem with reading is that
it's got too many words.
Once I start reading something, if I start reading a novel of any sort, I will not stop until I'm done, and I will read obsessively. I will stay up way too late. I will,
unless it's Death Note, and then you quit in the middle of it.
Avoid other activities. I said literature.
Ouch.
So wow, it was weird because Jacob and I were just talking about how I quit reading Death Note today.
You should get back to it.
I should. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, I read a thing. And the thing I read is the first 15 lives of Harry August.
Why didn't you read the rest of the lives?
They didn't describe anymore.
Oh, okay.
That was it. In fact, the 15th life, I think, was just implied. So, if I remember how it ended. It's not a terribly sequential book. It is partly, but not completely. And, all right. The First 15 Lives of Harry August is a book by Claire North, and the thing is a spectacular story. It is maybe my favorite book I have read in years and years. I love this book. This is an author who knows what she's doing. She is painting this huge, vivid world for us, this complex sci-fi concept. The idea of Harry August is that Harry August keeps living his life over again. It is very Groundhog's Day-esque, except instead of just one day, it's his entire life. So he lives his life, he grows old, he dies, and then as soon as he dies, he wakes up again as a newborn. Except
who's to say we're not doing that right now?
Except he doesn't remember his life until, I think it's sort of, once the brain is mature enough, your memories start to phase in. So from like, 2 to 3 on up to 6, all, you know, you finally, by the time you hit about age 4, 5, or 6, you finally have all of your memories of your past life. And
you're a baby genius.
Right. And they make it out to be the most tedious thing about the whole process is having to live through your childhood over and over and over. How horrible. I mean, you know, some of them had good childhoods, so, you know, it works out well. But imagine if you had a crappy childhood where you got beaten or abused or whatever, neglected. Imagine how terrible it would be having to put up with that over and over again. So, anyway, he winds up living his life over and over again and, you know, constantly starting again from exactly where the last life started. And, you know, things always play out differently because he makes different choices in each life. But history is still relatively the same, and, you know, he knows events before they're going to happen. He can make sure he's not, you know, somewhere that's going to get him killed, you know, at least not outright. And over time, he discovers that there are other people like himself and that there always have been, seemingly. And the the connections between these people and the society that they've created, and the just such a rich depth of characters and world that I was hooked. I was hooked from chapter one, and again, obsessively reading. I could not put this thing down. I mean, it was like 2 days through, and I powered through the thing in no time, and just stunned. Love this book.
Okay, so here's my question with these kind of stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Groundhog's Day solved the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because with a repeating story like this, it's always the question of where does time pick back up?
Mm-hmm.
So in Groundhog's Day, time picked up once he finally wasn't an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But in this book, it sounds like time picked up for everyone else after his first life, and then just he goes back to repeat it.
Right.
But then it also raises the question, how is everyone else also repeating it?
And the book addresses all of that. Because you would think that there's some issues with these time loops, because if you have multiple people, they finally put a number on it, and they say, basically, about one in every 500,000 people does this. So across the globe, out of every billion people, that makes, 2,000 loopers like this, whatever the name is that they give to them. So there's a lot of them. And they're all looping on their own schedules, reliving their own lives. And so each one, as they change their life, will change the cycle for the next, for people who are born during their lifetime. It'll change the future. Sometimes changing it so that certain people aren't born or so that things change. And she accounts for all of that in this book and is just fascinating. And the meta plot that arches over all of this, is stunning in its scope. This is the sort of story that I wish I had written. And yet, even if I had come up with this idea, I don't think I could have carried it out to this kind of grand conclusion. Wow. It is just phenomenal. Is a really good book. So the first 15 lives of Harry August, if you want to give it a shot, I think it is absolutely amazing. So, and the author, Claire North, this is actually, Claire North is a pseudonym. Her real name is Elizabeth Webb, I think. Hold on, let me look it up. Not Elizabeth Webb, Catherine Webb. Catherine Webb started writing when she was 14 years old and published several young adult novels when she was in her teens and early 20s, The Adventures of Horatio Lyle and stuff that I was not terribly familiar with. And then after doing the young adult stuff, she started writing more mature things. The Matthew Swift books were the next series that she did. And those were a little more adult, and so her publisher said that she needed to have a pseudonym for those. Basically just to say, look, people who are out looking for Catherine Webb books are looking for a very specific young adult style, and so therefore she took on the name Kate Griffin to publish her Matthew Swift stuff and stuff with a little more mature themes and this sort of stuff. And then she wrote the first 15 lives of Harry August, and her publisher said, you definitely need another pseudonym for this one, because suddenly the first 15 lives of Harry August was the first thing that, in her words, first thing that her publishers deemed to be truly literary that she had achieved.
That's insulting.
Right. That's what she said. She apparently had achieved some level of literary quality that they felt was notable, that they wanted to push this as a more literary work, as opposed to just a straight up sci-fi novel, which it's a damn good sci-fi novel, and they shouldn't discount that. But, so she takes on the pseudonym Claire North, for this and, her subsequent books, which I haven't checked out yet, but obviously I have to now because she's really good. And I heard her in an interview and she was just absolutely fascinating. This is, wonderful to listen to, the way her mind works as she talks about, her various, ongoing series and how she came up with some of the ideas and how she pursues them and shapes them. Just amazing. It's something to aspire to. So anyway, the first 15 lives of Harry August are a top-notch recommend from me. Absolutely love it. So,
and believe it or not, as much as I like to make fun of you for it, I also have a book report.
You did not read something?
I am currently reading something.
Okay.
I'm currently reading actually 28 of something. It is the complete series of Full Metal Alchemist, the manga.
Oh, very nice. And I would make fun of you, except that I have used the book report to talk about the Superman graphic novel that I read. So, no, that's perfectly fine.
You know what we should do? Instead of making fun of each other from now on, we should preface it with, I would make fun of you for this, but...
That's a great idea. All right.
Anyway, but Full Metal Alchemist follows two brothers who have broken the laws of physics to try to resurrect their mother and spend the rest of their lives trying to rectify that.
Yes. Yes,
That's about all I'll give you.
I've seen the first episode, so I haven't read any of the books.
If you're gonna watch the anime instead of read a manga about it, go Brotherhood. Brotherhood is so much better than the original anime.
Okay.
Because Brotherhood actually follows the manga, whereas the original anime follows the manga until about book 7, and then it branches off into what it thinks would be a good anime.
Okay.
But
so both Full Metal Alchemist animes
are good, but Brotherhood is better.
But they both follow, they start from the same base and begin, they're telling essentially the same story until some branching
right
point later. Okay.
Right.
I follow
both
you.
Are good, but I would recommend Brotherhood far more.
Okay. Interesting. So you are, and you say you are.
But if you have the option, read the manga. Find somewhere online you could read it. Find a friend you have with physical copies. Just read it.
Did you say you are rereading now?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
This is about my third time through.
You know what? I'm just starting that right now.
Hmm.
Not that you care about it, but
the fifth time through that one. Better off, Ted.
No, I am doing that as well. I am. Thank you, Noah. Because I'm just starting to reread Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Really?
Which I haven't read in years. So it's time to reread that. And
I haven't read it in days.
Yeah. And as Noah pointed out, I also decided that for some light viewing entertainment before I fall asleep at night, I am rewatching Better Off Ted.
You know, I would make fun of you for bringing up a TV show in the book report segment, but I did the same thing, so I'll let it slide.
Well, I'm only bringing it up because Noah did, but it was if you guys haven't seen Better Off Ted, Better Off Ted is maybe the greatest comedy series ever. Incredibly well done, and it got two seasons and then just disappeared, and there was so much more potential to that show. It was just incredibly funny, done, and insightful.
Not
going to
drop us a plot synopsis?
Ted is the, he is the head, not head, he's more of the,
Ted the head?
He's the PR guy, he's the manager for a research division of Viridian Dynamics, and Viridian Dynamics is this huge mega corporation that does a little bit of everything, including some bizarre research projects into genetic engineering, designing office chairs. Basically, they make a little bit of everything, from you know, military grade weapons to ballpoint pens. So, and they have their hands in everything.
Sometimes they're one and the same.
Right. And so, it's just a super funny show as Ted tries to manage this group of people, and keep them on track. And Portia de Rossi is in there as his insane boss, and she is absolutely amazing in this show. The two scientists, Phil and Lem, make me laugh every time. I just watched the episode where Phil and Lem, one is a white guy, one is a black guy, and as they're walking around, every time Phil, the white guy, every time he leaves the room, the lights go out. And then he comes back in, the lights come back on. And they finally realize what's happened is all of the motion sensors in the building have been replaced by the new Viridian Dynamics motion sensors that they just developed.
And they're racist?
And they can't identify black people. They're not racist, they just can't identify black people. And so now, what do you do about that? Because they go to the water fountain won't activate for black people, just for white people. The lights won't come on for black people. The elevators, you can't push a button in an elevator unless you're white. And so, ultimately, they solved this problem at one point by installing separate manual water fountains for the black people that say "for blacks only" on them. Yeah. And it's a really funny show. And it recognizes the absurdity of a lot of stuff that goes on in the corporate world. And especially when you have a business that has its hand in everything and is essentially soulless. And that's where the humor in this comes from. And it's very funny. Anyway, so this is, I think, my third or fourth time through watching Better Off Ted. I pick it up every few years. I just suddenly go, hey, you know what I haven't seen in a while? Better Off Ted. And then I watch it. So that's what I'm doing.
Do you know what time it is?
What time is it? Is it Howdy Doody time? It's Miller time. What time is it?
It's Adventure Time.
It's Adventure Time. Is it Adventure Time?
No, it's time for the Pod-O-Matic.
Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, we bring out R2, his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for us to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask?
Well, a list that Mike never has up when it's time.
That is where you come in. You want to hear us haver on about something? You send your question or topic to us by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums, and we'll add it to our Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Oh, so close. I couldn't stall long enough. It's still not quite ready. Wait, hold on. Let me go. I need data. Data button's hidden. Where is it? There it is. Okay, there. You can stop now. Whew, we're all good. We are officially sorted now. All right, sweet. And the first number is 96.
And 96 comes from... That's a long list.
It's from Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Kyle says... God.
How'd you even do that?
Damn it. It went all the way to the end of the... there we go.
And just be glad it stopped at Z.
Because the numlock isn't on. There it is. There we go. Kyle says, you have the power to control what people smell. They don't know you're doing it. How do you use this power for good?
I will make every bathroom smell like a fresh bakery.
So that people get hungry when they poop?
Well, no, but like, you know how some bathrooms get in public.
Okay, yes. You could be very nice and cover up horrible smells for people. How would you use it for evil?
Make entire buildings smell like sewage all at once?
Wow. Okay, I guess you could use it for evil, couldn't you? It seems like kind of a mild power for good or evil.
You make it smell worse the lower down the building you get?
Yeah?
Until it's, like, murderously bad at the bottom? So that to get out of the building... It just keeps getting worse.
Oh, that's pretty good. That is evil. All right. Whoops. 76. I think it was 26 before, but it's 76 now. Because I shook it. Deal with it. All right.
76
from Kyle.
Hi, Kyle, again.
Kyle says, go to Google and click the search box. And now read the last 5 searches you made.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Hold on, let me see. All right, I'm in. I'll give you 6, because that's what it shows me here. My search bar says Claire North, because I was going to talk about Claire North today and her book. 234, because it's episode 234. These are easy. Before that is Ugly Cat, because... Jacob kept showing us cute cats from the subreddit Daw, and I thought, oh yeah, you can't say no to a cat, they're all cute. And then I thought, no, clearly not all cats are going to be cute. So I did a search for ugly cat just to remind myself of what ugly cats look like, and some of them are pretty gruesome. Before that, Sacred Heart Parish, that's the church that we go to. Royal Image, that's the haircut place, because Aiden needs a haircut, but they were closed.
We're debating on whether I need a haircut.
And then the last one is John Lovett and Spencer, because John Lovett on his podcast, Love It or Leave It, he's one of the Crooked Media guys, but he talks about Spencer constantly. He makes references to Spencer and going out and doing things like an escape room and other stuff with Spencer. And so I thought, is Spencer his boyfriend? Is it his personal assistant? I just wanted to know who Spencer was. And I got sidetracked because when I did this search, it turns out that I'd never found out who Spencer was. But I did find out that John Lovett, his partner is Ronan Farrow, Mia Farrow and Woody Allen's kid. And so that's who he's been with, like, since 2011. So, like, back when he was working for Obama. So I just thought that was odd. I had no idea. And so I don't know, is Spencer still, you know, is that his personal assistant? Is just a code name for Ronan? Because he never mentions Ronan on the show. So I have no idea. But anyway, that's what my Google search is for.
I got a Skyrim release date from earlier in the podcast.
Okay, Skyrim release date.
I have Why Does Nobody Like Me? And How to Stop Being So Lonely.
Seriously?
Yay.
Seriously? Oh, you are so sad.
It's normal searches. It auto-filled for me.
Wait, you didn't get to your fourth one, bedwetting and how to beat it through self-hypnosis.
I was hoping to skip that one, but...
Oh, no, that was one I made up. Joke.
All right. Yeah, made up.
So, now here's the thing. Last week, I saw that this question was in the list.
You dirty cheater.
I knew it was in the mix, and so I thought, you know what, every week before I record the podcast, I'm going to go out and just...
Make all of my search history Velociraptor related.
Which is actually a joke I'm stealing from XKCD. So, you know, it's how to escape a Velociraptor. How fast can a Velociraptor run? How do I know if I'm secretly a Velociraptor? Those would be, and so before the last episode I recorded, if I'd gotten this question then, those would have been the questions that came up in my Google search. But then, you know, I have a really short attention span and I immediately forgot about the joke. And so now you guys just get my actual search history. So there you go. Forgot we were doing Podomatic. 46. And 46 comes from... Oh, come on. Let's make it Kyle. Let's see if Kyle can get the entire Podomatic this week. It's from Kyle!
Woo!
Go, Kyle. Kyle says, one of my dogs really hates taking a bath. Like, freaks the hell out. I don't understand it. We have a shower head on a hose. The water is always warm, but not hot. The bathtub's clean. What is this dog's problem?
Water killed its family.
Yeah, look.
Specifically bathtubs.
It had a near-drowning experience when it was little. And oh, wait. Hold on. Let me guess. Like any dog, you go down to the lake with it, and it just hops right in and starts swimming around. It's just baths that bother it, right? It's one of those dogs. I don't know. You know what? I think it's just being obstinate. I think it is being specifically disobedient just to piss you off. That is probably what's going on. And I'm guessing it resents you. So now...
Man, this started out really helpful.
The real question is, what did you do to upset the dog? Because...
He killed its family, specifically with bath dogs.
Okay. Asked and answered. Okay, 46? That's what we just did. That's not supposed to happen.
60.
How about 60? That one we can do. And this has to be our last one, because I really do have to stop early tonight. Oh, it's from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, number 19, those Danish butter cookies in the blue tin, amazing holiday staple or gross boring crap?
Wait. Cookies come in those things? I thought it was just yarn.
Yeah, all right, the blue tin with the butter cookies
inside? That old ladies keep their yarn in, Dad.
Okay, I got it. But I'm just saying.
So here we are trying to explain each other's jokes.
Can we? Well, look, how about if I dissect your frog? And then you can work. All right. I don't know. It is... I'm on the side of leaning towards boring. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not bad. But they're also not...
If I wanted every bite to taste the same, I'd just order a really big cookie.
Yeah, you know, at no point have I ever said, oh my god, it's the blue tin of Danish cookies. Oh my god, butter cookies? Why didn't you tell me we had butter cookies? That's never happened. It's always been, oh yeah, I'll take a couple, sure. What the heck, yeah. Yeah, no, they're alright. I mean, it's not super exciting. Okay, that
is a number 20.
Is the last that we're gonna do. Number 20. Number 20 comes from... It's from Kaz! And Kaz, my new dungeon master, game master, I suppose, says, tell me your favorite bit of cubicle candy you have. Cubicle candy? Does this mean, like, toys in my office? Because if it's just straight-up candy, I don't have candy in my office, because if I did, it would be eaten. So I'm going to imagine that you're talking about office toys. In which case, my favorite bit of office stuff is it's got to be the NanoBlock sets. It's got to be all the NanoBlock architecture, little miniature Legos that make up the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame Cathedral and the pyramids.
The Tower of Pisa.
Yes, the pyramids of Giza, the White House. I've got so many
of
them.
You've gotten a lot of them over the years.
Yeah. I think we're up to like 19 of them, and they're awesome, and they are awesome conversation starters. Every time someone walks into my office, so there you go.
I don't know. My family keeps getting them for me.
Yeah, and if Aiden had an office, he would tell you that the greatest toys in his office are his objects of constant width.
Oh my god, they are!
So
they're little, like, imagine rounded pyramids with a circle base. Except, if you, like, place a hard object or, like, a book on them and roll them around, they feel exactly like you're rolling them on spheres.
Yeah, the things, they look like little rounded pyramids. He's not kidding. And, except these rounded pyramids are shaped specifically so that no matter which way they roll...
Opposite points.
Yeah, the distance from the table to whatever is on the top of it, it is always an absolute constant width. So you can keep rolling this thing back and forth, and even though the object is not round, it will still, if you put a bunch of them down as ball bearings and roll a book on top of them, the book remains perfectly level at all times. It's really freaky to watch it happen, to feel it happen. Lay your hand on it, roll that book back and forth, and go... Yeah, it's like they're spheres. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So if this mental picture we're painting for you makes no sense, go look up objects of constant width in YouTube and just see some videos of them. They're really cool looking. And just bizarre to feel and operate. So one year for Christmas, he said that was on his Christmas list. He wants objects of constant width. And so we ordered him a set and I don't think he ever expected to actually have them. But now he does, and mm-hmm. They're very cool.
They're really cool. I love them so much.
So, there you go. And that is the end. So let's turn it over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit, and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Cronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's In the Garage. Oh, Read a Book by They Might Be Giants. And that's it. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them on my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget this podcast. Oh, crap, I can't do that part. I really need to just take that out. Why don't I just take that out?
I mean, we're a Nerd Pride network of one.
If you want to help out Nerd Pride... Yeah, well, because you know what? It's like every week. It's like, oh man, we're gonna have another podcast. We're gonna have another podcast any day now. I'll just be able to. So if I just leave it in, eventually it'll be correct again. So if you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and then write us a nice review, or don't write us a crappy review as long as you give us 5 stars. That's what makes the difference. You want to do something super nice for this podcast though. Recommend it to your friends, because if you're enjoying it, you need to spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Oh, God, I forgot to do a bread and butter segment. I won't play the music for it, but speaking of bread and butter, listen to the Imaginary Worlds podcast by Eric Malinsky. I love that podcast. It was that one is where I learned of Catherine Webb slash Kate Griffin / Claire North and the First 15 Lives of Harry August, and just fell in love with her writing. Imaginary Worlds podcast is awesome, so go listen to them. But also, yes?
You know, we could just make a Nerd Pride Network if I just make a podcast called Triple N, where we are never not nerdy.
Never not nerdy. He really wants to do that. Well, start recording something, dude.
I don't need. You have the materials that I got.
Oh, you're right. No, he's right. I would have to show him how to use them. But remember, I'm always looking for you listeners. Do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics to the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research, like today.
We did all of 30 seconds.
Do you know how hard it was to go, it's sequential?
We didn't even have to look that one up.
Oh, this is work, people. This is where the brain trust really gets put to good use. So my contact information is mike@nerdprideradio.com, at nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign
and
up.
If you want to talk to me, just tell him you want to talk to me.
Sign up, send me a message, we'll hang out together, we'll become best friends in the world. You know, you could actually get a sign on at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Totally, you could sign up as Aiden, and then people could private message you as Aiden.
That's work.
Grueling work. We'll become best friends in the world is where I left off. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to the forums and to Facebook, and to Aiden's platinum subscriber list, and we say, hey, we're recording. Anything you guys want to add, just post up and we will read at the end of the podcast. That's what we're doing right now. First off, we're going to start with Facebook, where I post up and said, hey, we are recording. Ask us a question and tell us a joke. And we got one response from Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth said, Mike, who was the paranoia character who surprised you the most and why? Of this particular game, let's see. I was actually most surprised by Barb from the very beginning. Barb was being played as this very socially awkward nerd, and it was being played by Jacob. And Barb was just, I really loved the way he played the character. And it just, I was amazed at how well this whole socially awkward thing played into the adventure, how he just kept walking into terrible situations over and over because he just wanted to be liked, and he knew better, but his character didn't. And I just thought that was really super cool, and I was sorry that he finally had to bow out of the game. I continued playing Barb in sort of the same spirit, but, yeah, it's not the same thing when it's the GM controlling it. So, you know, it was going through the motions, but without all that really cool inner dialogue that was making Barb so fascinating up till then. But, let's see. And then she says, I'm loving reading it. Yes, I've already published the intro and all the characters and the first couple of chapters. There's probably going to be grand total, like, 10 or 12 chapters, so we're a good chunk of the way through this thing. All right, then Sarah Beth continues and says, two ropes walk down the street thinking how much they'd love a drink. They walk towards a bar and are about to go in when they spot a sign on the window that says, no ropes served. The first rope dejectedly begins to walk away when his companion tells him to go in and sit in the darkest corner he can find. He complies while the second rope goes into the restroom, twists himself up, and roughs up all his hair. Then he goes to the bar and says, two drafts, please, to which the barkeep says suspiciously, ain't you a rope? Nope, he says, afraid not. Huh? Huh? Afraid? Okay. All right.
Not funny.
The joke I learned at camp that I just overheard was a chicken walks into a bar and the bar
orders a drink. And as he's walking out, he says, put it on my beak.
That's pretty good. The chicken walks into a bar. And the bartender says, I'm sorry, are you part of a joke? And the chicken says, yeah, why? And the bartender points to the sign over the bar that says, we don't serve jokes in here. And the chicken says, well, are there any bars around here that are joke friendly? He says, sure, there's one right across the street. Okay.
That one's pretty all right.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. So, anyway, but that's it for Facebook. So let's go on over to my forums. Now, my forums, all I said was, hey, ask us stuff. I don't even think I asked for the joke. Yep, ask us some stuff. First up is Phoebe. Phoebe says, what has been the most rewarding aspect of DMing a paranoia game, and what is the most frustrating part? You can tell who played in the paranoia game.
So, I'm getting it.
The most rewarding thing about DMing a paranoia game is DMing any game. It is setting up a story and then watching how the players completely make it into something that you absolutely did not expect to happen, and seeing what comes out of it. Paranoia in particular, I set up completely absurd situations, completely absurd characters, and then just watch as the players bounce off of that, and especially the way we've got it, so it's a really blind setup. People don't know what everyone else is doing. And it's just amazing how often everyone's actions come together in such a way that there's this grand crescendo of mayhem, because everybody was doing something bizarre in their own way for their own reasons, and they just happened to collide in exactly the funniest way possible. I love that stuff. The most frustrating part is just waiting on people to respond. It is, when you play by email, anytime you're playing by email, playing by forum post, this kind of stuff, turns are a little hard to enforce. And so, there's times where the action is really kind of critical depending on this one person. And so you don't want to skip over them. But on the other hand, you feel kind of bad, cheating the other people because now they all have to wait because this one person hasn't caught up yet. Or sometimes it's me that hasn't caught up yet. Sometimes it was me that needed a week off or 2 weeks off because something happened in my life. So I can understand when other people have a problem. It's just, when you've got 7, 8, 9 people involved, oh man, every time, if you take a break every time someone needs some time, it's slow going. That's why it took us a year and a half to play this one out. But ultimately, we got 160 pages of just comic goodness. So, and then Phoebe says, what is your take on standing desks? Do you use one? Do you want to? Not?
Sounds like it's a lot of work.
I don't have a problem with a standing desk. I would like to try one. There's a guy down the hall who has a standing desk modification, so he can sit or stand as he chooses, and it looks really cool. So I would like to try one out. I don't think I would really care for it, but I'd like to try it out. Although, more than that, I wouldn't mind trying one of those giant ball chairs where you just balance on the giant sitting ball instead of having an actual chair, unless you're always working on keeping your core balanced and keeping your back straight and it improves your posture and all that. I think that would be kind of cool to try, too. I don't know if I'd want to do it long term, but both of those are things I might like to try. So, there you go. Are you ever tempted to grow your beard very long, like Gandalf long? Or maybe Brian Blessed with beard length.
Well, see, there's a problem to that. It's because, your beard will grow out to a certain length, but at a certain point, it just stops.
Yeah, and I also, if I were going to grow my beard out long, I would want to take better care of it. And that's a lot of work. And so, therefore, the whole point of me growing out a beard is because I hate shaving. Well, you know what I hate more than shaving? I hate having to groom and condition a beard. God, that seems like work, too. So I keep my beard nice and short so that I don't have to shave, but I also don't have to do anything particular to keep it looking good, because it's just nice and short. So this is the happy medium of least work possible. No, I am not tempted. I have thought about it once in a while, but, before you get to Gandalf long, you have to get to Duck Dynasty long. I mean, that's around here, around Nebraska. There are only two types of long beards. You're either a Duck Dynasty wannabe or you're a hipster douche. And there's no, There's no real good look with a long beard as far as I'm concerned. I don't care for them. I just don't. I like just a nice, short, neatly trimmed beard. But that's just me. All right. Let's see. Scenario. A small army of about 100 gnomes is mounted on long-horned, long-haired goats, facing off against another army of 100 gnomes mounted on big-horned sheep. What is going on here? And who wins? Complete the story.
What is going on here is, sounds like you just leaked the plot to Romeo and Juliet 3. And who wins is that they resolve their differences and it becomes a happy ending for everybody.
Oh, who wins? Not the moviegoer.
Exactly.
All right. Willie Gilligan posts up and says, who are you rooting for in the World Cup?
Wakanda.
Good answer. All right. Here's mine. Mine's more of a meta answer. I don't care about the World Cup because I don't care about most sports. I understand the excitement around it, and I'm not going to knock anyone who really enjoys it. I would like for the U.S. to win the World Cup. Yeah, I know. I know. We would become really insufferable about it. It would be horrible.
We call it soccer, and we still won.
Right. Here's the thing, is we would wind up winning at the World Cup, and then we'd become jerks about it because it's not even a sport that we care about. We still kicked your asses. All right, that kind of thing.
It's
but,
like that one time we beat Canada at hockey.
Right. Just like, no, when we beat the Soviet Union. Miracle on ice. 1978 Olympics. Amazing. All right. I was living in New York and owned hockey skates at the time that that happened. So that's pretty bad.
I was going to say it's disturbing that you knew all of that. Just offhand.
No, the point is, if we won at soccer, yes, it would make the U.S. really insufferable, but then it wouldn't happen again for a long time. But it would make the U.S. care about soccer. We have now a whole generation of millennials who grew up playing soccer, and yet soccer isn't a big deal for professional sports. But if we won a World Cup, or if we got close to winning a World Cup, suddenly the U.S. would give a crap about soccer. We'd give a crap about football. And we could maybe join the world community in the passion for World Cup soccer. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, or maybe
football.
Maybe a passion for World Cup soccer isn't necessarily the best thing for our country. Maybe, but I think it is. I think it would be nice to join that community as a nation. That's just me. So yes, I know it would turn us into a bunch of buttholes over it, but it would be worth it because then they would put us in our place and then we'd actually work and strive towards this goal of becoming the best in soccer. And eventually we'd get there on the merits again. But anyway, that's my answer. I'm done. All right, now, we're finished here. And so now we're going to turn it over to the Platinum List. So what did you wind up asking our Platinum members?
Just, if there's anything you want us to say or read off, now's your chance.
Okay.
First one is from Emily.
I know Emily.
Hi, Emily. When mom makes food, it magically tastes better than if anyone else made it. Yeah.
Sure. If by mom you mean my wife, because clearly your mom... Alright, you know what? I've never tried your mom's cooking. I'm not going to judge. I wouldn't know. But I'm just going to tell you that my wife's better. There you go.
Also, my desktop that I have had for 7 years might be dying, so that's peachy.
When you say desktop, I assume you're talking about a desktop computer, as opposed to just the top of your desk?
No, her desk has wood rot, Dad.
I have an infestation of, I think, termites. So.
Might be ants, I don't know.
So sad.
She also says, hey, what are you doing after the recording? You should come over and hang out at my house. You need to meet my dog, he's very precious. Okay, I will.
Okay. You should. You haven't hung out with Emily in a while.
The next couple are from Reginald.
Oh, wait. Or was that for me? See, as if Emily was inviting me to come over and hang out at her house and meet her dog. So that was the... Fine.
Reginald says, pitch me a TV sitcom. It has to be an original idea that that appeals to septuagenarians.
Got it. All right. I don't have a title for the sitcom, but I have pitched it before. It is an old folks home, and it is a show told in two parts. This is the key to it. So it's an hour-long show. You have two half-hour comedies back-to-back. All right? And one of them is the view of this old folks' home from the point of view of all the staff that work there, all these young people, all these disaffected kids. Right, in a very Scrubs-like environment. And then the other half of the show is from the point of view of the old people, from the actual residents in the nursing home. And each one of them has their own dramas and their back and forth. And it's, and so every week when you get the shows come out, they have their own storylines. So they have their own stuff going on, but they are woven together in such a way that as you watch each one, you can see the other show happening in the background. You can see some of the events, the same events, but you see them from a different angle or from a different viewpoint. And they will be tied together so that by the time you get to the end of the shows, you realize that there's a bigger point that we're making about the generations and about how very similar they are. Yes, they're very different, and that's what makes things funny, but also how people are the same, regardless of age. And I think this could be, you would need a really good team of writers. But I think this would be a brilliant frickin' show. And I cannot remember the name that we originally came up for this show, but I think it would be brilliant. I think it would just be a ton of fun to see that happen. And it would be unique, something that has not been seen again, and would certainly appeal to septuagenarians. Hopefully it would appeal to all ages, but there you go.
All right, the next one is from Sam.
Didn't think I could do it, did ya? Hi, Sam. What?
I want you to explain why the Stormcloaks are a better faction. Listen here, you terrorist. I will not have you sully my Skyrim with your damn rebellion.
What?
I don't care if this is listener betrayal. You don't even have a sustainable government that even if you did win the war, you could keep your economy going with. We have the Eastern Trade Company with us. If we go, the trade company goes with us. Where are you going to get your exportational revenue?
Okay.
I'm not saying that the Imperials are perfect, but what I'm saying is it's more sustainable for Skyrim in the long run. You have to look at it at the greater good. You can't just throw Skyrim is for the Nords and have it be done with. I get it, you don't like change, but sometimes the change is good. And the Altmeri Dominion is both of our enemies, and the Empire is the only thing keeping them out.
Maybe you should build a wall.
We're both in Skyrim! The wall's not gonna do anything!
Okay.
I will not have your Stormcloak propaganda on my show.
So you're saying you feel strongly about this?
Yes.
All right.
Next up is from Tim. Hey, could you read off the Emancipation Proclamation, but do it in a silly way?
No. No, I can't, because I have way too much respect for President Abraham Lincoln, and, alright, what, the Emancipation Proclamation, let's get some text for it. Oh, man, this sounds terrible. This really sounds like such a bad idea.
I think we're gonna offend some people.
Yeah, hold on, let me just try, hold on. Let me get the text up here. Aha! Emancipation Proclamation. Oh, it's a document from the Civil War.
Oh, cool.
I learned something new. No. Where's the text? No. All right, you know what we're going to do here? Yeah, okay, here we go. We're reading over the text here. And I don't think we can do this in a way that isn't grossly offensive and or boring.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe reading it off as Trump. In the year of our Lord, 1862, the greatest year ever.
Off as sarcastic.
Right. It's not a no. And it's also, again, it's a boring text.
Yeah.
It's a proclamation on, it's a legalese sort of, no, we can't do that, I'm sorry. No. Was that Tim?
Tim, I love you, but no.
Tim, tell you what, next time you see Aiden, he owes you a soda of your choice and two cookies. So, Because we can't follow through.
You're giving him a little much.
Oh, and just, you know, legally podcasts aren't binding. So if he says no, there's nothing I can do about that.
If you want to watch Oz, prepare yourself.
What?
From Trey.
Okay. Have you seen Oz?
No.
Are you talking about the 15-year-old, 20-year-old TV show that was like from Showtime or something? Because that was a weird show. It was about guys in prison.
Oh, I know.
And it was like, they had one episode where they wanted to talk about the death penalty. Mm-hmm. And so they had a guy who shanks somebody at the very beginning of the episode and while in prison, and he winds up being executed by the end of the episode. Like apparently within a week's time, he's already been tried, sentenced, and he's sent to the electric chair, and that was where I stopped watching the show. It was like, really? I can buy a lot of stuff, but not that.
All right, and our final one is from Ricardo.
Ricardo?
He says, what's the best kind of wallet? And he gives the example of long wallets where they don't fold, billfolds, or trifold wallets.
It is, long wallet seems a little awkward,
mm-hmm.
because I like something that's going to fit in my hip pocket. I have a trifold. I've always had a trifold wallet, but, you know, the billfold, the...
Right, I have a billfold.
Right, so does Jacob. And yeah, that doesn't bother me either. I mean, I like the trifold personally because it's not, for me, it's not about the money. It's about fitting in the different cards. And
right,
so
but,
a trifold,
you know,
is...
Us people who are smart and in the new age only need two at maximum.
The trifold, each section of the trifold, is just big enough to be holding however many cards in it. And so therefore, yeah, I like the trifold one.
But then
I'm not
gonna
judge.
Gets really thick and like unwieldy.
That's true. That's true. But, again, Jacob just used this line today. Great pickup line is, normally I'm not this tall, but I happen to be sitting on my wallet right now. See? So.
And that's all I got.
All right, well, that's all we got. So, hey, we're done. Love you guys. It's been awesome. Say goodnight, Noah.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, Aiden.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, R2. You even turned him back on?
I didn't turn him off, because I'm not mean.
Aw, that's so sweet. All right.
Goodbye, everybody.
We'll see you next week.